We're going to begin, brethren, by reading one verse of Scripture from Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7. The Word of God says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's verse 7, chapter 13 of the prophet Zechariah. One of the minor prophets. Minor, he's called a minor prophet because his message was short. Not that it's not important. Just as important as any of the prophets. Zechariah 13, 7. Let's pray once again. O Father in heaven, open your word, please, to us. We thank you that we have your written word. We have the words of prophets written hundreds of years ago, if not thousands. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for blessing us to have it, that we can hold it in our hands, the written word, and read it together. Father, make it alive now to us by your Holy Spirit. Come and teach us. We need you, O God, as we just sung. We need you. We ask you to come and bless us and to get honor and glory. Bless every minister of God that's called of God to preach the word as they stand before to feed the flock, as they stand to feed. O God, grant their study, their preparation, their calling. Give them liberty of their calling. So, Father, you'd be glorified and the people would be fed, strengthened for service, educated, edified in the Word, that we would grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We beg it for Jesus' sake. In His name we pray, that name above everyone. Amen. So many verses I want to give to you this morning. I want to read to you, and I want to expound upon them. And I arrived at this one right here. We're going to go, God willing, to a lot of verses this morning. We're going to be in the Old Testament. We're going to be in Psalms and Zechariah in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we'll be in the Gospels. John, Matthew, Mark. So keep those fingers nimble and keep your Bible open and turn to them. And bear with me, please, as I try to turn to them and find them and keep my thoughts. God bless my thoughts. We're looking at prophecies of the crucifixion of our Lord and events that surrounded that event in history. We're looking at them. We looked at some last week. We're looking at Old Testament scriptures that prophesy the suffering of our Lord and Savior and things that would be done to Him, events around that crucifixion. I was thinking, brethren, this week about, as I read some of these verses, I was thinking about how the Old Testament speaks of those events and then they're recorded, the recordation of them happening in the New Testament. And I was thinking about how, you know, I believe those prophecies and I believe the recordation of it. I believe the historical account in the New Testament. And I believe that, brethren, because God's blessed me to believe it. I mean, He's given me a measure of faith. And what I'm saying, brethren, is something that you can say also. I'm just testifying to you that I believe it, brethren, because God's enabled me to believe it. There are many who read that and don't believe a word of it. It's foolishness to them. The Word of God says it. The Word of God is foolishness to those that are being destroyed or those that are dead in sin and trespasses. But I believe it. And what a blessing it is. And I was thinking this week that if I only had the gospel account to read of the crucifixion of Christ and the events around it, you know, I would believe it and I would read it and rejoice in it. And I would think about it and I would probably cry and I would rejoice and I would give God praise for it. But in addition, brethren, to reading the New Testament accounts of it, there are so many places in the Old Testament where God, and I read this isn't my expression, where God pulled back the curtain and showed a man of God to be able to look down through time and see it, see through faith what was going to happen. And so we have the luxury, brethren, we have the blessing of reading about it in the Old Testament that is going to happen, and in reading that it has happened in the New Testament. And here's one of the many examples, a prophecy. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Now, a sword doesn't sleep. That's figurative language. It means the sword's fixing to come to life. It's fixing to move. The sword's fixing to do some work. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. That's Jesus. That's talking about Jesus, brethren. The sword's gonna pierce him. And literally, a Roman spear did do that. We know that. It's in the Gospels. Swords pierce, brethren. Swords are like a sword, like a, can be like a scalpel. Sister Jane asked me a while ago, what's wrong with my eye up here? It's red, I think, and right here on me. Well, I had a sword work on me right there some years ago. I had a skin cancer, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor got out his sword, so to speak, and he went to work. And he said, now I'm going to go out in this room and look at this skin, and if I got all the cancer cells, I'll sew you up and you'll be on your way. Well, he came back and he said, sorry to tell you, I gotta get the sword back out. I gotta do some more cutting. And he got it all eventually, but it took him about four different times. And the last thing he said was, I can't sew you up. I'm gonna have to send you to a plastic surgeon. I said, okay. And so he put a bandage about the size of a baseball on my head, and here I went to the plastic surgeon, but he fixed me up best he could. The sword, brethren, can be very, very good, or it can be very, very painful. In my case, it was both. It removed something that needed to be removed, and it helped me. It helped me. It hurt me, but it helped me too. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Simeon, wasn't it? Simeon, who said to Mary, a sword shall pierce your soul. When that baby, little baby boy, she had him in the temple there. The sword. And the sword pierced Christ. And in this context, that's what it's talking about. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Jesus, brethren, was God's fellow. He was God. They're both God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They had communion in heaven. They were closer than that. And God says, the sword's going to come against my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. That's God speaking. And then he gets specific right here. He says, smite the shepherd. The sword's going to smite him. And the sheep shall be scattered. We're going to read about that in a little bit. I'm going to read you a verse, brethren, that says, they all forsook him and fled. They scattered, brethren, like a covey of quail. They got gone from there on the night of Jesus' arrest. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And then lastly, I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Well, what does that mean? Let think about that and pray about it as we go forward. First of all, brethren, the next scripture I want us to go to is Psalm 41. As you're turning there to Psalm 41, I'm going to read one verse from there. As you're turning there, I'm going to skip back to Psalm 22 and just refresh your memory. We're studying Old Testament scriptures that prophesy the crucifixion of Christ and events around it. Last Sunday, we went to Psalm 22, first of all. We went to Psalm 22, and here's what we read. I want to jog your memory. I want to refresh your recollection. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think I said to you, if I were to read those words out to you without any other words at all, if I just stood up here and I read those words and said to you, where are those? Who said those words? Every one of you probably would say, those are the words of Jesus on the cross as he's about to die. Why did he shout them out? Why did he scream them out? Why did he yell them out? Because God, brethren, had forsaken him. Because Jesus, brethren, at that moment was sin. He had been made to be sin. Your sin was on him, and my sin was on him. And there in Psalm 22 are those words. Here are some other words that describe Christ on the cross. Same Psalm, verse 7 and 8. "And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.'" The Romans stuck out the lip at him. They laughed at him. They mocked him. We read that this morning together, you all and I did. The Romans did it, and his own people did it as he was on the cross. One of the things they said was, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Come down, if you're the Christ," and now I'm paraphrasing, I'm guessing at it, "come down and we'll believe you that you're the Son of God." "Dogs have compassed me," verse 16. "The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Verse 18. "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." You remember reading that this morning? We read it together. That, what you read this morning, was from a gospel. I think it was Matthew's gospel. I'm reading it now to you from Psalm 22, written some 500 years prior. Now let's go, brethren, to Psalm 41, verse 8. Listen to this. More descriptions, brethren, of events leading up to and during the crucifixion. Psalm 41, verse 9. Brethren, I don't know if you mark in your Bibles or not. I mark mine all up. Listen. It's God's Word, but it's no transgression to write in your Bible. I took a Bible for years, and I didn't want to make a single mark in it. I thought somehow it was holy, and it is. It is. But brethren, God, if you need to mark in it, you go ahead. I urge you to. And in the margin of my Bible, beside this verse, it says Matthew 26, 21. It says that. And I've got it circled. You see the Bible scholars, they want to help you and me learn. When I read in verse 9 of Psalm 41, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Then I look over in the margin and it says, Judas Iscariot, Matthew 26, 21. And that brethren, refers me to the New Testament passage where something is said about Judas betraying Christ. And it'll help you, brethren, if you mark it. It's all right. It's all right. "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Lifted up his heel against me. Now, I'm going to stay in the Old Testament for a little while, and then when I finish with about four or five sites in the Old Testament, I'm going to go to the New. "My own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me." I want to say this before I forget it. When I was a boy growing up, we used to arm wrestle, and we would wrestle one another, me, my brother, buddies at school. We would wrestle. And when we would kind of lock up like this, we lift our heel up like this and hit the other one and try to knock him down, try to trip him down. And that's what he's saying there, brethren. Judas lifted up his heel against Christ. Oh, he didn't grab him and try to throw him down physically, but he tripped him up, or at least he tried to. That's Psalm 41. The next one, go back to Zechariah, the next to last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah, and go now to chapter 11. Chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Listen to this, brethren. Listen to this language. "And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." Does any of that sound familiar to you? Can you think of somebody? and an event in the New Testament. We're going to turn there in a little bit. Just hang in there. Stay there. Think about that. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Look at this so-called minor prophet, brethren. Look at the prophecies. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And here's what we come after. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now back to Psalms, brethren. Back to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 20. Here is a short little verse. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Now back to Zechariah. Zechariah 13, verse 7. This is our scripture for today. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. I want to go now to the New Testament, and I want to read to you the fulfillment of these verses. John, go to John chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 13. The 13th chapter of John begins, it's a beautiful chapter, all of them are. This one begins with Christ in the upper room with the apostles. And this is where it says, supper being ended, he took off his cloak and he girded himself with a towel and he got a basin and filled it with water and began to wash the feet of the apostles. And he went one by one and washed the feet of every one of them. And Judas Iscariot was there. And Jesus washed his feet also. John 13, verses 18 and 19, it says this. Jesus, after that supper and that foot washing service, he said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. That's what we read from Psalm 41, verse 9. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of God. I'm God in the flesh. I tell you before it come, that when it comes, ye may believe. That's what I was kind of getting at the beginning of the sermon when I said, you and I can read in the Old Testament where men of God have said, something's coming, this is going to come to pass, and now we can read, it's come to pass, we can read a description of it that helps our belief. It makes our belief stronger. It does mine, and I think it does yours also. Now verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now let's read more about that. Let's read Matthew's account. Would you go back to Matthew, the first of the Gospels, Matthew chapter 26. And these verses are going to remind you about the verses from Zechariah chapter 11 about the 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. You see, he goes by himself. He leaves Jesus and the other believers in Jesus, and he goes to the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? They begin to negotiate. Zechariah 11, 12. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. I believe they entered into negotiations there of the amount that was going to be spent. Matthew 26, 14, 15. What will ye give me? and I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Give me my price. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. That is as if Jesus is speaking there. They weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Go to the same chapter, verse 46. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's kind of close by to Peter, James, and John. He's told them to stay awake and pray with him. He goes about a stone's throw further and prays. He comes back. They're sound asleep. I was with my grandsons this week. I was telling Jan about this before she was there. She was downstairs, and I took the boys upstairs to read them a story. One of them needed a nap, and I wanted a nap. And so I got one on either side of me, and we got a book out, and I began to read. And before, it couldn't have been more than 30 seconds. I was slurring my speech and fighting to stay awake. And I would shake my head and kind of blink my eyes, and I would take a deep breath, and I'd start reading again. And the next sentence, I'd be drifting off. And the boys, I made one get on this side of me and the other on this side. We were laying in the bed, and I just could hardly finish the book. And I was reading along, and I went to sleep. And I told Jan, I woke up, and the boys were not beside me anymore. And I didn't know how long I'd been asleep. And I raised up, and I looked toward the foot of the bed, and two little heads popped up. They heard me, I guess, stop snoring or something. And I said, boys, get back up here. And they got back up, and long story short, one of them I sent downstairs to Jan. The other one went. He said, Pappy, I'm not going to sleep. I said, yes, you are too. And he stayed with me, and he went sound asleep, and so did I. You know the feeling when you're so sleepy. In the Garden of Gethsemane, brethren, Christ was sweating blood. He literally did that. He saw your sins and mine coming at him, and he was praying to the Father, let this pass from me. And he also prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he went back to the three men who were closest to him on earth, Peter, James, and John. The 12 were over and above the multitude. There were that 12 that were special to him. And of those 12, there was Peter, James, and John. And he took them with him into the garden and said, wait here and pray with me. And then he went away and came back, and they're sound asleep. Just like I was. They couldn't fight it. Isn't it in one of the Gospels where he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? Our flesh gets weak, doesn't it? And they went sound asleep. And he woke them up at least once and maybe twice and said, pray with me. And he went away and he came back. Now here's where and now he's back with them. And we're in Matthew 26, verse 46. He says, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Hold him fast. Hold God fast. I dare say. The God who said, who are you looking for? I'm he. And they fall down. Judas says, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now we're going to go to we're going to go to Matthew 27, verse 1. Jesus has been awake all night having this trial, this mockery of a trial, and the next morning he's taken before the Romans. Verse 1, chapter 27, and Judas has now betrayed him for his 30 pieces of silver. Listen to this. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. That's the Roman governor. Now back to Judas. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, he, Jesus, was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Those are chilling words right there, brethren. Those are cold as steel words right there. The man Judas says, I've done wrong. I've sinned. I've betrayed an innocent man. But the damage is done already, brethren. And listen to what they say to him. What is that to us? See thou to that. That's your problem now, buddy. What is that to me? That's nothing to me. That's your problem. Brethren, you know, that's the way Satan does God's children. That's the way he does any child, a child of Satan or a child of God. That's the way he does us, brethren. He tempts us. We see things. We want them. We want to do things. We want things. We sell ourselves for things. And then, brethren, we repent and we're sorry about it. You know what Satan does? He laughs at us. He says, that's your problem. I got you, didn't I? I got you. I talked you into it. You compromised. You betrayed your Lord. You've yielded to temptation. You see thou to that. That's your problem. Verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And what happened next? He went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy, that's Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. I want to read you, brethren, back to Zechariah. I want to read chapter 11, verse 13. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. What are we going to do with this money? The Jews said, we can't put it into the treasury. It's blood money. What are we going to do with it? The Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. Apparently a potter in Jerusalem, a man who made pottery and sold it for a living, he apparently owned a piece of land. And maybe it was for sale. And so the Jews took the money, and they bought that piece of land. It says, a goodly price that I was prized, P-R-I-S-E-D, at of them. And that word, that's an old spelling for the word price. That's my price. That's the price that they put on me. 30 pieces of silver on Jesus, brethren. I don't know the value of 30 pieces of silver in today's money, but it doesn't matter what it is. It can't cover Jesus, can it? No amount of money is worth your or my salvation. A goodly price that I was prized at. One person wrote about this verse. He said it's where you say something but you really don't mean it. I can't think of it now. But that's what that statement is. A goodly price. It's like Jesus saying, isn't that a good price for me? 30 pieces of silver. Is that what I'm worth? A goodly price. And I took the 30 pieces of silver, that's like the Jews speaking, and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. It's been suggested that this this field near Jerusalem was probably worth a whole lot of money because of its location. You know, in real estate, location is the thing. But then it's also been suggested that maybe, and I just give you this as food for thought, that maybe that potter had dug all of the clay that was there in that field. He had stripped it of its value. It was clay that was the value, and he was willing to let it go for 30 pieces of silver. It's just food for thought. But brethren, what's more food for thought is how God showed Zechariah how Judas was going to, or some man, Zechariah might not have known the name of the person, how that the Lord and Savior, the Lord of life, the shepherd, was going to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And that 30 pieces of silver would be turned back in, and then the Jews would take it and purchase a field, and they bury strangers in it. That's people, to me, I think it is, I haven't researched this, but to me, it's people that don't have family, people that don't have a burying place, it's strangers. Somebody dies in Jerusalem, and they're maybe from way off, they're not from there, and the family's not going to come get them, so they bury them in the potter's field. I told you some months ago about the man I knew that put my name down as a next of kin or a contact at the hospital in Jacksonville before he died. And I hadn't seen him in years and wasn't a friend of his anyway. I knew him and had worked with him. And the undertaker, I called the undertaker that he wanted to bury him, but he apparently left no provision for that. And the undertaker said, Mr. Devane, let me tell you what's going to happen in this case. He said, if somebody doesn't come forward with money, and I'm not criticizing the undertaker, he provides a service, he's entitled to his money. He said, if somebody doesn't step forward, what will happen is he'll be cremated and they'll bury his ashes in some place in Jacksonville. The potter's field, you see. The potter's field. But you know, brethren, even in his betrayal and death, Jesus, brethren, he provides. I mean, it's just another thing to think about. He provides. Now, brethren, back to Zechariah. Zechariah, the scripture for today, chapter 13, verse 7. Now back to that in closing. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. That's a prophecy, brethren, that Christ is going to be slain on a cross in Calvary. That the sword of God's going to come against the shepherd, your shepherd and mine, the good shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, the second part of the Godhead, God the Son, saith the Lord of hosts. God the Father says that. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Mark 14, verse 50 says, and they all fled from him. Every one of them. Every one of the apostles of Jesus. And the sheep shall be scattered. They scattered that night, brethren. Now in closing, the last phrase of verse 7 of chapter 13 of Zechariah. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. You know, in one sense, brethren, that makes me think that whole verse there is about God's judgment being executed. I will turn my hand upon even the little ones. But also, brethren, I believe I can see in that, and maybe you can, that God, because of what He says in that whole verse down to that last clause, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Although all of that, brethren, is violence and judgment, a righteous judgment of God against sin, the substitute for sin, Christ Jesus. And then the last phrase, brethren, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Little ones. That's you and me, brethren. That's us. That's the ones that Christ substituted for. It's the ones He died for. And God, brethren, turns His gentle hand upon you and me. And He spares us, the little ones of the flock. He spares you and me. Because, brethren, the sword has awakened against the shepherd, the good shepherd, and against the man that is God's fellow. The shepherd is smitten, brethren, for you and me. But He turns His hand, His gentle hand, upon us. He spares us. He spares you and me. And we're the benefit of that, brethren. We benefit from that. It's our salvation. Isn't God good? Isn't Christ good to give His life for the shepherd? I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays His life down for the sheep. Thank God for that. Oh, brethren, He died for you. He died for you. You ought to live for Him, and I ought to, and I pray that I will. I pray that next Sunday we can continue studying Old Testament scriptures that point to Christ and His crucifixion. Study these scriptures, brethren, that I've called out to you. Make a note of them and study them. Go back and read them from Psalms and Zechariah. Read them. I have them. If you didn't write them down, text me and I'll text you the reference. Read them, and you'll see your good shepherd in there. You'll see Him. God's vengeance taken out on Christ Jesus for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. We're studying Isaiah 53 on Sunday night. Come and join us as we study that. I conclude with that, brethren. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have Your Word and we can read it and we can see Christ Jesus in it in the Old and the New Testaments. Thank You, Father, for the prophecies that teach us. Thank You that we can read the history of it. Oh, but above all, oh God, make it come alive to us. May we see our shepherd, Christ Jesus, smitten for us, pierced for us, beaten for us, and with His stripes we are healed. May we see that. May it make us cry. May it make us rejoice. May it make us live life for our Lord and Savior who died for us. In the name of Jesus, I beg that, Lord, help us. Give us grace to do it. Amen.